Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. Here we are on VFN Radio. We have so many things we want to be able to share with you. If you have not yet heard this week's programs, you want to be able to get them. There's nothing better when you think about a podcast, because it can download into your mobile device, your computer, and you can just have it. And you can listen to it and at your convenience. At your convenience. So make sure you go to VFNTV.com and get it. The podcast today.
Podcast.
Know what I call it? Podcast.
That is correct.
Okay, cool. Man, some interesting things are happening in the world. You know, we always want to keep you abreast. We don't want to bury our head in the sand of denial. Mm. And at the same time, we don't want, you know, life's happenings to paralyze us, because we move in confidence and faith. But you got to just really look at, and I want to encourage you, if you're looking at your news, understand God knew this day was coming. And when it seems like things are happening negative in the context of the world, realize you're about to see something totally awesome happen in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You can look back and you look at the previous moves of God, where the latter rain and the outpourings that have taken place, and can't even name them all. John, can you name a few?
Oh my goodness. Look at the Great Awakenings first.
Right.
Great Awakening, second Great Awakening. Look at the revival in Asbury. Look at what happened, of course, in Azusa Street. Of course, most recently what happened with the Brownsville outpouring.
And you look at with Azusa Street, you had this major, it was a San Francisco earthquake that just, they just came out of this earthquake.
Yeah.
Great disaster that happened. It was followed by, you know, Azusa Street taking place.
Well, Argentina had a tremendous revival, but that nation was economically going over the cliff. They were done. And just amazing what happened out of there. Stadiums.
Wow.
And just, in fact, the Argentinian revival happened before the Brownsville revival. Actually, Steve Hill had a chance to be out there with Carlos Anaconda, I think, and some of those guys out there. Just amazing.
He's the one that came to the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry.
Yeah, he's been out there before, yeah.
I love to listen to him. You know, he's an abider, obviously, because he would go, you know, these awesome things that God would do, and he'd run back in his abiding time and say, look at God, what you did. Oh, my goodness. You know, right?
Yeah.
This one?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this is what history says. And it's because of our human nature. You know, human nature is you have to get our attention, because we have to participate in a move of God. We have to, you know, follow God. We have to turn to Him. We have to repent. We have to want and desire the things of God. And there's nothing like cutting off your water that makes you thirsty.
Mm. That's right.
There's nothing like losing your job and your unemployment, having six more weeks to run. Mm. You know, those type of things. And so you can, don't look at this thing, what's taking place, as a negative. Look at it as that God's about to do something major that if He would told you, you would not even believe what He's about to do. He's just got our attention.
Mm-hmm.
He's got our attention, and He's going to begin to move. And you're going to see those of you who've been laboring in the harvest field, and it seems like you've been, you know, prophesying to trees and preaching to walls and doing everything you can to turn a neck, but it was so stiff it wouldn't even turn to the left or to the right. That understand these kind of environments soften those necks up and soften the heart, and it causes us to no longer look at our own self, and we don't say that our own strength is our own God, because our own strength is at its end. And so at that point, a man begins to look up, and the deception that was sown in the world and the nations at that time is being revealed to be untrue, because it is not working for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it working for you? And they realize it's not working. They were deceived in thinking that, you know, I can do this thing myself. I'm a self-made man. I got my 401k, my retirement plan. I got this thing all figured out. And now people are on the verge of that all coming to an end. But then we turn to God, and we cry out to God, and God says, so merciful. Don't underestimate the mercy in the grace and the love of God, a God who will orchestrate the earth and the universe that he created in such a way that it just kind of like shakes a little bit. Because he could just swat it out of the universe. But it just shakes, it just tilts just a little bit. It just tilts just a little bit. And it don't take much. When you start tilting the earth a little bit, seasons change, everything change, harvest change. And he just tilts spiritually, if you would, the earth a little bit, and everybody's running all over the place. And what happens is, he says he does this to be able, he says in the book of Isaiah, to teach us righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to teach us the right way, how he's designed things. And there's nothing like hard times. I'll never forget watching when really this all began in the context of what God was doing through what he was sharing with me and what we're participating in with the Malachi mandate, you know, prophesying for 10 years in the spirit of Elijah about turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And he stopped it and he said, listen, you know, at this point that didn't respond. He says, well, what's going to follow that? Or else I'll smite the earth with a curse, and the curse will be, the earth will begin to do what I'm talking about. And it was right after that when the earthquakes in Haiti hit.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And, you know, I've never been to Haiti, but my son's been to Haiti, and I got some friends that are in Haiti, and they've been to Haiti. And I, obviously, with today's technology, you can be anywhere.
Mm.
And it wasn't the most godliest environment. It was many small g false gods and voodoo and all this other kind of stuff going on, just parched. And I think 50% of the population was 17 years of age and under. If anything happened in regards to Christianity, darkness, all this false witchcraft and everything would come out, and they would try to undo anything that was done. One example is that they had a baptism take place in the water in the ocean there, mm-hmm. in Haiti. And after they finished having a baptism, some of the people who were involved in witchcraft, they were scared. Now they were fearful. The devil told them, I would assume, that now this is going to bring a defeat to the devil's kingdom here, because that's how powerful baptism is, by the way.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
When you're that close to darkness. And so they look out there where they baptize it, and all of a sudden you have this lady walking back and forth naked in the clothes and out of clothes, trying to bring curse that what just took place. And then they took a cow and all the blood, the chicken blood and all that kind of stuff, and marched it around the compound where the orphanage was, where the baptism experience came out of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Haiti.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And there's also Christians there, but that's Haiti. And when the earthquake happened, and you can see footage of this, and I wish I had it. I don't know if I have footage of it or not. We would have talked about it on VFN radio. But it was amazing, because in that environment where everybody's pretty much passive and quiet about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the reality of the kingdom of God in a way that darkness seems to be dominant, they're running down the streets going, Jesus! I mean, everything's shaking and quaking, and they're going, we've sinned, we've done this, we've done, and there's immediately, you know, men begin to acknowledge sin and disaster.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, you know, you probably never had this before, but you have a child that, you know, maybe a teenage child or a child, maybe a young child, that you say, did you do this? And they go, well, no, I didn't do it. And so you kind of let it go, and then all of a sudden something happens again. They say, well, did you do this? Oh, no, I didn't do that. And it just goes on for a long period of time. And it's like, man, I'm totally convinced this kid did not do that, you know? And then all of a sudden it comes to a head. They do it again. And, you know, the entire world shows up as a witness and says, you know, your child did this. And so now you're going to confront that child and you're going to say, you've been lying to me, you know, this thing you've done. And then now the earth's about to shake. And just like these Haitians were, the child begins to go, I did it, I'm so sorry. I mean, like, what? I mean, all along, that child could have said the very first time, yes, I did it, and could have dealt with it, and would have been a lesser thing. But the fact that it took all of those witnesses, it took all of that shaking of the world to be able to get to that point. And all of a sudden, they just start. And sad to say, that's kind of human nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of human nature. So don't be shocked when you have a people that have walked for so long as if everything's okay. And what they're doing, there's a facade, you know, it's a religious facade or I'm okay facade. And then their world starts to shake that they're not going to begin to say, listen, you know, I've lived my life my way. I've done my own thing. I've been prideful. You know, I deserve this, you know, in my life. Do you think God will forgive me? I need to get this thing right in my life. And don't be just shocked and offended, you know, because you spent, you know, 5 years or 10 years with somebody that they looked you square in the face and said, no, that doesn't, this doesn't, no, it's really fine. And it's like, if this is what it takes, if this is what it takes to save souls, that listen, a shaking earth and an earthquake and a tornado and all these different things, and economy collapsings or whatever, that's not as bad as hell forever where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's forever. That's amazing. It's amazing how many people play around with the whole idea in their life. It's just like, is it going to take an earthquake for you to get serious with God? Is it going to take a disaster? And that's why I talked to someone. I said, well, listen, we just need to pray that disaster would come your way.
Listen, for years I'd witness and share the gospel.
Of course, by the way, they go, no. I was like, what do you mean? Wouldn't they help you out? You wouldn't have these little difficulties?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was actually, it's the same thing. For many years, I'd witness and share the gospel with people, and they say, oh, I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready. I said, well, what would have to happen? I mean, what would have to happen for you to be ready? Say, if you lost your leg, would you be ready? If you were in a tragic accident, if you were in the hospital, you know, and you were given 30 days to live, would you be ready then to give your life to the Lord? And without a doubt, everyone, oh, yeah. I mean, why does it have to take something like that? Why do you have to be without a leg? Why would you have to lose a child? Why would you have to be at the bottom of the barrel of tragedy and setback and heartache and destruction for you to tap out and say, you know, I'm done with this and I need God.
Right.
You know, but hey, whatever it takes, I mean, if it takes that, you know, if it takes that, but why? You can have Jesus today.
Right. Right. And he says that, you know, when I send famine and plagues and upon my people, my people, and it's like, oh my goodness. And it's like a father that says, okay, I'm going to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a famine moment.
Right.
You're going to be plagued for a while.
A little while.
And, the things you used to feed yourself, it's not going to be there for you for a while. But hopefully it's going to humble you to the point where you're going to cry out. And guess what? When you do cry out in humility and acknowledge your sin, then I'm going to forgive you. I'm just waiting for you to get in that position. I want to forgive you. That's what God is saying. I want to forgive you because when I forgive you because of my son and his sacrifice, Jesus Christ and his blood, it's gone. The sin issue is gone, which means you can be in my presence and we can be in relationship. I'm looking for the opportunity for you to acknowledge your reality so I can bring you into my reality. That's what God's saying. It's not about, you know, some religious fervor where God's, you know, wanting to beat on you or something. It's like, no, he's trying to save you from eternal damnation, but it's not just for that alone. It's so that you can be with him forever in relationship with him. So it's actually a good thing. So the best thing to do when your father says, did you take any cookies from the cookie jar?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I took four.
Right.
I took four. And then God says, well, it says right here in my word that that's something you shouldn't do. And then you're convicted. You'd be convicted. You said, I'm sorry. I should not have done that. And I'm going to seek to walk with you in such a way that I will avoid that and seek an empowerment from you, God, as I trust in your finished work on the cross, knowing that your spirit is going to empower me to no longer take things that are not mine.
That's right.
It's repentance.
Yeah, it's repentance. Exactly what it is.
When we're talking about revival, and one of the key things about a lot of revivals is that people are repenting and they're turning back to God. And CBN's reporting about a revival that took place 100 years ago in North Korea, in Pyongyang, that's the capital of North Korea, and it started out with this Bible study. They started gathering and they started confessing sin, and as they started confessing sin, God started to pour out his spirit. and a revival took place in North Korea. No idea. 1907.
Did they confess their own sin or someone else's sin? Today, the church is pretty much, I want to confess their sin. So it's actually our own sin.
Our own sin.
Okay.
And it just started, revival starts. But I want you to listen to this segment from CBN and just be encouraged just to hear what God did in North Korea in 1907. But yet and still, before we say that, that was 100 years ago. And in North Korea, let me tell you something, it went right back into oppression and right back into so many things that are happening now. But God did move.
And this is the same time that God was moving in Azusa Street.
Yeah, amazing.
Wow, isn't that cool?
Yeah, amazing.
I wonder, because that was 1906, Azusa Street.
And this was
as soon as people got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and began to speak in a language, I wonder if they felt like they spoke Korean and they sent them. Wow. That's what they would do. They're like, that sounds Korean to me. You're gone. Right. I got you a ticket.
Yeah.
And they would send them off. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Could very well. It's amazing how one move just keeps, you know, going to the next.
We're all connected.
Well, this week marks 60 years since the fighting ended on the Korean Peninsula. For the South, it meant economic, political, and religious freedom. For the communist North, the exact opposites.
Today, Christians in North Korea face terrible persecution, but it wasn't always like that. In the early 1900s, North Korea witnessed an unprecedented Christian revival. In fact, the city of Pyongyang was even called the Jerusalem of the East.
Pyongyang, January 14th, 1907. A group of Korean Christians and Western missionaries are meeting for a Bible study in a church on the outskirts of the city. Halfway through, God begins to move in a powerful way.
They knew that the only way to survive was to depend on God.
One by one, the men confess their sins to each other. Sins of racial prejudice, hate, anger, and jealousy.
They knew that nothing was impossible with God, so they called on Him for forgiveness.
God answers, and revival breaks out. In the ensuing months, thousands repented publicly, including elders of churches and foreign missionaries serving in Korea.
And out of that, they say, they think came the work of the Spirit that finally broke out as at Pentecost.
Thus began the great Pyongyang revival of 1907.
In 1907, Pyongyang became known as the Jerusalem of the East. Churches were sprouting up everywhere, and they were growing fast.
Prayers of repentance swept across the Korean peninsula. People walked hundreds of miles to attend revival meetings.
The spiritual change was a repentance movement. Believers confessed their sins and were born again.
The revival lasted 40 years, touching all levels of society, including those in political power. Andrea Lankov is a professor of Asian history in Seoul.
Pretty much every single important North Korean communist, any Korean communist of the 40s and 30s, 20s, came from a Christian family, with very few exceptions.
Even North Korea's dictator Kim Jong-un was exposed to Christianity. His great-grandparents were active members of a Protestant church.
In Korea, Christianity was a religion of modernity, modernization, progress, science, technology.
But the brutal 40-year Japanese occupation of Korea tested the faith of these believers.
And according to eyewitness accounts, Christians were enduring so much persecution, but in the midst of persecution, God was moving in tremendous ways.
Japanese forced us to bow to the Japanese emperor. So many of us refused and were imprisoned. Some were tortured and killed. But the more the church faced persecution, the more we grew.
By the late 1940s, some 3,000 churches were operating in Korea. Illiterate people began reading the Bible. Missionary schools and hospitals were being built.
It was maybe the greatest success story of the American, not only American, Protestant missionaries in East Asia.
But today the story of Pyongyang could not be more different. Christians now are routinely tortured, raped, starved, and executed.
It's one of the most repressive policies in regard to religions the world has ever seen. They are worse than Stalin. They are probably as bad as Mao. They are probably slightly better than Pol Pot.
Korean Christians have held prayer rallies like this one, asking God to reunite and revive their nation. David Yonggi Cho, a South Korean, pastors the largest church in the world.
For decades, he's been preparing teams of young pastors to be ready to share the gospel once the doors open in the north.
We are praying that God will speed up the intervention to North Korea.
Cho and others are calling on the global church this week to remember those suffering for their faith and to pray that God will bring another revival in North Korea.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And today, you know, Korea is the world's largest, number one country that sends missionaries around the world, more than the United States. South Korea does.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it really is.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is it legal to wear a Christian Christmas pin to a public school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Substitute teacher in public school, and I was wondering if it is legal to wear a Christian Christmas pin that says Jesus is the reason for the season.
First, it's going to depend on what the policy of the school is. For instance, if teachers are allowed to wear a cross in Star David, which they're supposed to be allowed to wear, they shouldn't have a problem with saying Jesus is the reason for the season. The argument may well be that if they object to it, may be that, in fact, there's concern because you're an agent of the state and that's somehow endorsing religion. But it really shouldn't be a problem. If it's part of your sincerely held religious faith that you want to wear this pin to express what the true meaning of the holiday is, it shouldn't be a problem at all. And I would go ahead and do it, but I would probably talk to the school administration first and find out what the policies are.
Learn more about keeping Christmas in our culture at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And, that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. That was something that came up that God spoke to me and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person. Yes. Another person is living and active. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly. Right. And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but God knows, you know, how to speak to us. And,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just, it's powerful. You know, it's life-changing.
Yeah. When you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called, and by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org.
You may be joining us today, and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Now joining me is Pat and John. My goodness, looking at North Korea.
And amazing.
Yeah, I mean, if you have not yet heard about North Korea, if you just, you've been, your head's been buried in Netflix. Mm. things, there's not going to be a commercial that comes on. You'll have total fiction. You will have no reality whatsoever. I've heard Christians say, you know, we don't even have any television. We don't have any cable.
Right.
You're thinking, whoa, they are just walking on water here,
right?
They said, all we have is Netflix.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, great, great, great. Not only are you not hearing reality, now you're building fiction. So anyway, but let me tell you what's going on. If they could do it, and they've tried to do it a couple times, you know, they have nuclear missiles they're trying to fire off.
Yes.
They're provoking the world. I mean, it's coming out like nuclear firecrackers because they don't have enough. But the whole thing is Russia's working with them. They're oppressing their people. They oppress them so bad today. They don't feed them that they don't grow into their full size of that you can be as in the human body.
Yeah.
And just terrible persecution to the church. I mean, of all the people they accept as a representative of America, of anybody, this is how bad it is.
Yeah.
That they accepted.
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
Is Kim Jong... It's his friend. It's his friend.
Yeah, he goes over and he feels like he's going to begin to negotiate on behalf of America. Mm-hmm. And this is how far we've gone, folks, by the way. And we kind of let it happen.
Exactly. And you're watching and you're thinking, is this really happening?
Yes.
Is this really happening? It is. It's happening.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
And this North Korean Pyongyang.
Yeah, Pyongyang is the capital of North Korea.
It disappeared. It was in front of me. It's just gone.
It was 100-year revival. It was 100 years ago and lasted for 40 years.
Right, right. And the thing about it is, you think so. I mean, imagine, you know, the enemy comes in immediately trying to steal what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to stop what's going on, to prevent it. And look at the oppression that came in. I mean, even this young man today that's leading. He was participating with his parents in a church, a Protestant church, right? Didn't they say
his that? Grandparents? His grandparents were believers. And he was exposed.
Basically. Right, he was exposed and to know the truth. And here we are today, and it's just like, you know what? You got to get in.
Yeah.
Don't sit back and wait and think that your season would change, because if you wait too late,
listen, you wait too late, you're bait. But we always talk about the difference of the countries that make, you know, God.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I mean, you look at, we're just talking about Haiti, Dominican Republic. They share the same island, same land, but stark contrast. We have North Korea and South Korea. I mean, look at the tremendous blessing that South Korea is, how they lead in technology and so many different areas, and how the church is so strong. Who knew that South Korea now sends more missionaries around the world than America, and they're actually targeting and praying for God to do what he's going to do in North Korea. Mm-hmm. You know, it's also said that Pastor Cho is developing teams right now. He's developing teams.
That's beautiful. You got to see this video, too. You're going to be able to see it on the VFN Torch. You see those teams that he's preparing. Isn't that, just...
As soon as that it goes down, I mean, they're ready to go right on in and evangelize. They are ready.
Like a tidal wave. I could see them, too.
Wow.
I could see them, too.
Powerful.
Just going in and taking off. The world's largest church.
Mm.
And you think about it, maybe this revival is what birthed that beginning of that church.
Could very well be.
You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be kind of like how things work?
Yeah. It all start with prayer and repentance, I tell you.
Yes. Yes. Of your own sin.
Correct.
Yeah.
Of your own sin. You always say, you know, if you're going to confess sin, confess your own sin. That good?
Very good.
Well, you know, we have a high priest, and his name is Jesus. And a priest makes intercession for the people he's priest of. And Israel had a priest in the area, in the lineage of Aaron, which, you know, obviously he was a man that was a sinful man that had to offer sacrifices for his own sin. And it was a very major potential dilemma when he would have to go into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, to lay down the blood on the mercy seat. Because him being a sinful man, that he might not make it out.
Mm-hmm.
So much so they put bells on his robes, and then when he would go in there to to make atonement, and that's all you had prior to Jesus, atonement, where the sins were covered by the blood of bulls and goats, that if they didn't hear the bells ringing, they also tied a rope to his foot.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine that?
Ankle, yeah.
His, well, yeah, his ankle. Thank you. Appreciate that. And just above his foot. And to his right toe.
That's cool.
It would tie it to his ankle. And if you didn't hear the bells ringing, so I guess you got to keep moving around. If not, they'd snatch you up.
Yeah.
And that meant that he died in the presence of God. That he, you know, he was obviously did not follow protocol and covering atonement for his own sins before he walked into the presence of God. And he would go from the holy place to the holy of holies. And of course, if he didn't hear the bells ringing on the ends of his robe, that meant that, you know, either he was fallen out under the presence of God and they pulled him out, or he was dead and they would pull him out. That's how serious, just huge.
Wow.
And that was a dilemma because, you know, men were just being able to cover sin in obedience to God. But when Jesus came, he did not come as a priest in the order of Aaron, but he came in a priest of the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, if you'll go back and study, was the very one that Abraham honored with the first fruits in his life. And Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek, which is a total different priesthood. And he didn't have the blood of bulls and goats. Remember, he was the Lamb of God and is the Lamb of God that was sacrificed on the cross of Christ. And it was his own blood that he, when he went into the Holy of Holies in heaven, because the tabernacle and temple that we have or had at that time on earth was nothing but a shadow of what is in heaven. So he took the reality, not the shadow. He walked into the reality of the temple, not the shadow on earth. He went into the reality with his own blood. With his own blood, after he died on the cross, he was buried in the grave and raised to life by his Father and the Father of those who believe. And he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. But in that whole process, he took his own blood and laid it on the mercy seat. And when he put his own blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, unlike the original Aaron priesthood, which only covered sin, this blood remove sin from existence in your life. It's like it never happened. When you, this blood can not only, doesn't cover sin, it's the forgiveness of sin and the removal of sin as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness. I mean, it's just an unacknowledged, it didn't exist before God. You're restored to God as if you never sinned through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's something so important to understand about our high priest, Jesus Christ. So he is a priest, and what the priest does, the priest talks to God for you, on behalf of you, in the embetterment of you. You know, he explains you to God.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I'm just glad it's not the Arianic priesthood explaining us, right?
Yeah, right.
Do him in. Yeah. You know, he didn't bring his dove today. Anyway, so, but, yeah, money, yeah. Dangers. Anyway, so Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And the thing about it is, how could, because Jesus is all God and all man. You know, God is his Father and man is his mother, Mary, right? And so he walked in the form of a man, and he did not exercise his Godhead as he did that. And so here he is walking with all the weaknesses and all the difficulties that you and I have. I mean, everything. You know, no matter what religion tells you, I mean, there's lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And everything stems from those three things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get off into the okra principles and preferences and stuff. But sin is sin. And he was tempted, Jesus, because he was all man and chose not to exercise his Godhead, but yet he became a servant. Think about it. He was tempted. All these things that are happening to you today, that ever happened in your life and happened in other people's life where you know, you're trying to connect, you can't relate to that, what that person's going through. Matter of fact, you might be judging the other person because you're thinking, because you haven't been tempted that way, you can't even connect. Why would anybody ever have that issue or struggle with drug addiction or whatever? pride. And and so, but Jesus was tempted in every way, which means his flesh was pulled at in every direction that ever could be pulled at. He was tempted this way, that way, this way. And yes, I know you're thinking, and I answer the question, yeah, that way too. Because every way is every way. But there's empowerment in that. The first of all, you know, it was the test of his confidence in God. You know, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered with loud cries and petitions. He cried out to God, the one that could save him from death. And once his obedience was complete, he became a source for eternal life. So he went through that agony, way more agony than we go through, because he didn't make any mistakes. I mean, all those things pulled at him, and he didn't give in to them. He didn't give in to them. And because he didn't give in to them, and he did sprinkle his blood on the cross, on the mercy seat, and we receive what he did for us in our place, then it's like we walk that walk with him. And when God looks at us, he sees his son. He sees his son's blood and his son's sacrifice, and he accepts us if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. That's why it's called good news. It's called good news. And, but in his journey, as he was being pulled in every way, there's something that he was able to do now. Because remember, he's a high priest who's interceding for you and me. And he's explaining us to God. I mean, thank God somebody can explain me. You know, right? No, thank Jesus. And so now when you hear, when I say all that, now that you hear this, you can understand what the writer of Hebrews, when he writes about it in chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, he says, listen, for we don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize. And that's what I'm really talking about here, is empathy. Unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Think about it. But we have one, so we do have one, who has been tempted in every way. Everything that is anything pulled at him. And so he understands the tug. He understands the pull. He understands the default setting of flesh and then what could happen. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He just understands that. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, yet, and tempted every way just like we are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that solves it in regards to, is it you? Yet he didn't sin. So, if you're being tempted with something, doesn't mean you've sinned. It doesn't mean you've sinned. It means that you're being tempted. So the enemy's so really taking a lot of people down because they think I'm supposed to be perfect, and then these things aren't supposed to come my way. And why would I be having a thought like that? It's called a fiery dart. Or why would my flesh being pulled that way? And they think, well, I've already sinned. It's like, no, that's the temptation. You know, with every temptation, God provides a way out. And so you just got to begin to look for the way out. And the way out, of course, is your total dependency on the finished work of the cross of Christ. You turn to his and just trust in God, and especially in a moment of deep temptation when the enemy is trying to just take you down. But yeah, he has this empathy. And then because of his intercession and explaining us, he can explain us to God. He can say, well, let me, you know, this is John. Let me, Father. And he'll just start saying, you know, this is important. You know, and if you're thinking nobody understands me, I can tell you right now, Jesus understands you. And understand this, you say, well, God knows everything. Well, God does not connect with, and sin cannot even exist in his presence. So it's he understood the answer. The answer was his son. Jesus helped him understand the question. You know, why would you even do something like this? And so God took on the form of a man and the weakness of sinful man so that he could feel that tugging and pulling, and then he could understand, oh, but yet he did it without sin. And so now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father experiencing all these tugs and pulls. And so God looks at him and thought, you know, what is his problem? You know, what's his problem? And Jesus goes, well, you know, that tugged at me. You know, this connects to that. That connects to this. You know, she didn't have a father in her life, and this didn't happen here, or this was going on there, and this was happening there. And then God, I could just see God going, "Oh, I got it. And then he already knows the answer because Because Jesus already, it is the answer. He's already dealt with it already. And so that's intercession, you know, it's intercession for us. And so that lets us know, hey, we got this thing going on for us. So he says in 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Mm. Listen, we're not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And because he's Jesus and because he loved God so much, he was willing to lay down his life. And he loved you and me so much, he was willing to forego the cross for the joy set beyond the cross to be able to have a relationship with us, to be all man forever and all God forever, to be able to talk to God about us so we could be the bride, his bride, that God, his Father, would give to him as spotless bride because of his blood of the bridegroom. This is an awesome thing. Mm-hmm. But he empathized. And when we get back in this breakup, I'm going to tell you, empathy is so important, and that's lacking in the church today. And we got to begin to say, you know what? God, I want to walk as you walk. I want to empathize with others.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner, in every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America, but it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich.
So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they had never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
First joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about empathy. We're talking about empathy and understanding how powerful that is. It's so powerful that God said, I need to send my son to empathize with my creation so that he can explain us to him. I mean, you understand, he knows the answer. The answer, obviously, is Jesus. At just the right time, he offered the answer, and Jesus was willing to be the answer because he loved and loves God, and he loves us, and he is the answer. But understanding the question, you know, why does he do that? Why does she do that? What is that sin nature? What is the what in the flesh? You know, why do they give in? Why do they? And so he begins to explain that.
Mm-hmm.
And so empathizing, when you think about empathy, empathy is so important that God wanted to make sure that he could empathize with us. And you think about it, you know, part of healing someone, and God wants to heal us, part of healing someone, and part of that healing could be deliverance, you know, from something that's just really held someone down, is two parts, two significant things. One is part of healing someone is hearing someone. Most people, even though they talk a lot, they may blog a lot, they may Facebook a lot or Twitter a lot or whatever. The truth is they don't feel like anybody's hearing them. As I hear people say, they go, I'm just seeing how many people like my post, and they just feel some sort of value by that means somebody listened to them.
Right.
Wow.
And
or liked them, right?
Or yeah, liked them. That's the word I think that's used. The and people desperately want to be heard, and where Satan has blinded so many is that they don't understand God not only heard, but he sent his son to walk to understand the language and to understand the language of flesh and body and darkness and temptation so that he can hear you more clearly. I mean, he was looking, that's what he wanted to do, and he is doing. He's hearing you very clearly, and empathy. And so part of healing someone is hearing them. And then when you hear them, it's empathizing with them. And thirdly, not agreeing with what's going on, just empathizing with them. You can empathize with someone without agreeing with them. And then after that, you tell them the truth, whatever the truth is in love in the whole situation. One good example is this of empathy is imagine this particular single mother. She has a child, and she's going through some financial struggles. And she goes to the grocery store and she buys some food for her and her baby and some baby food, and she puts it all up on the counter, you know, all the little jars and stuff, and she's pulling out her change to pay for it, and she realized, you know, it wasn't enough, and so the store clerk says, you know, you're gonna have to put some of this back.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so she puts some of the food back, and it's just, I mean, obviously you can imagine how this mother's feeling. And she goes to work the next day, and she tells her boss, listen, I'm going to need a raise.
Hmm.
I'm going to need a raise. And, of course, pretty much, you know, it used to be this way in the business room. The boss says, because he knows the economy of the business, he knows or she knows how much money they're making in the company, the boss, whoever the boss is, man or woman. And said there's not enough money to be able to give a raise.
Mm-hmm.
And so the boss says, well, I'm sorry, honey. There's not going to be raises this year because things are really tough. And then she walks away devastated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they both said what was right, but there was something missing in that whole thing. Listening, empathizing, and then sharing truth in love.
Right.
And this is, as the church, that's what we need to do. Don't just jump to truth. You know, first care about me. First care about me. Jesus said, what can I do for you? He didn't jump in there and just all of a sudden say, do this, do that, do this. He said, what can I do for you? And if an employee, and so this would be empathy. This would be a whole reset of the whole thing. And so the mother comes into her boss and says, listen, I need a raise. And so the boss would say, come on in my office and let's sit down, let's talk a little while. I mean, obviously something, it could have been a million things that could have, that she's been, because if she made it to that point to come into your office and say, I need a raise, I mean, there's a lot behind that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You owe it to the one who's been working for you to listen. And you just want to just open things. It's like, obviously something has happened here. I need, and it could be a million things, but this is her unique story. You know, so something's happened here. I want to hear it. I'm putting everything aside.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Something's happening. So she begins to say, I'm just not making enough money. Well, but something happened. I mean, what happened? And she says, and you know, you make an environment conducive to her wanting to share it because it's a pretty vulnerable thing. And you just say, you can tell me, you can talk to me. Listen, we've been working together now for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the way, how's your baby doing? You know, because you're empathizing with them. You know that she has a baby. And she says, I was in the store last night and I went in there just to get some baby food, like 28-cent can baby food. And because of my power and the rent and all the things that are going on right now, I didn't have any money left. And I was sitting there with my baby in one arm, counting my change with my other arm. And I had to put 4 cans of my baby food back. And now he's heard it. And so now he's got to pause and say, okay. He needs to put himself in her shoes. And this is what God did for us. He put himself in our shoes. And begin to think about, you know, what would it be like? And a proper response, if it's true, if you put yourself in her shoes, would be, I could only imagine how painful that had to be and how humiliating that had to be and how devastating it had to be because it's your baby. It's your baby's food. I mean, these demands in your life and here you were, I mean, not only that, but here you're having to carry your child. You're trying to count coins out to be able to just get a small cans of baby food. And I am so sorry that you had to go through that. I really am. And I can totally understand what you're saying here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just must crush you walking out of that store knowing that you weren't going to have enough baby food for that week to be able to feed your baby. And I want you to know that, you know, I'm going to make a point today to see that you get some food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have some food this week. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the company, look what we're doing. You know, I appreciate what you've been doing for this company and you have legitimate needs. You have legitimate needs and we need to look at that. And if this company can meet those needs and we can stay in the state that we are, you know, I'm open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't, I'm open to the fact of letting you know and working with you to be able to get what you need. And so let's just get together next week and make sure before this day's out, because I've already got somebody, I didn't tell them who it was for, but I got them buying an entire bag full of all sorts of Gerber baby food. So you're going to have baby food for, you know, a whole month here. And I just want you to know though, but I'm sorry you had to go through that. And so, man, she's like, you're feeling her. And so you're not, you know, you just, that's how it is. And then the next week comes along, you look at your books, the economy like it is today, and you realize not only can you not give her a raise, but it's a miracle that you're keeping people on payroll. So you, as a business owner, have to humble yourself and realize you could be about to lose a real good employee that you had for 10 years. but you're going to have to be honest with her. Mm-hmm. And you invite her back in the office, and then you first begin to talk to her about how things are going. How's the baby doing? Did you get the food? Was it the right kind of food? And you just talk a while. And then you say, well, I've looked it all over, and I just want to show it to you. This is what I found out. I found out that the truth is, when the economy's going right now, that there's just not enough money to even really make payroll right now, really. We're really pushing things to make payroll now. But I want you to know this. I will work with you. I will work with you and pray for you, by the way, in getting a job that meets your needs, because you need your needs met. You should not have to go through that again. And you'd be surprised in that. And this is the God that we serve. This is how he treats us. He's able to empathize with our weaknesses. And if we as the church begin to listen and begin to empathize, then we can share truth. And you know what? She very old may say, you know, I'm willing to go through this. I can make some adjustments to where I'm living. I can make some other adjustments. But because you care about me, because you stand with me, I'm going to stand with you. Empathy. We need it. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. I was just talking to my father, mm-hmm. and he was, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, mm-hmm. and, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now. She can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom have to do a conference call or something, uh-huh. and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV, mm-hmm. and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program, mm-hmm. with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad, uh-huh. and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store, mm-hmm. and downloaded the application, because we have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad, we have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go, is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh man, I missed that. You can go that with the app. You could go back and look to the highlights of that day, and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today.
Oh my gosh, Steve, have you seen our new Facebook page?
That is awesome. Yes, I have.
All our radio subscribers need to do is go to our Facebook page, and you go to facebook.com/VFNTV, and you can check it out. It's constantly being updated. There's new radio segments posted daily. Mm. And I want to encourage you to like us and have your friends like our VFN TV page on Facebook.